and appointed to the egg and said, okay, children, what's in here? And Daniel said, I know. I said, what, Daniel? He said, pantyhose. What do you call three rabbits in a row? Backwards. Look, three rabbits in a row hopping backwards simultaneously. A receding hairline. All right. That's either a bad dad joke or a bad Eddie joke. God is good. Get your Bible out. Turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 19. Whoa. Shields down, number one. Stand for the reading of the word. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 19. Not only is this going to be talking about Jesus, but this is going to be talking about somebody in here today. Okay, I want you to really listen carefully, because it honestly can speak to a very special need we all have inside. Ready? Then the same day at evening, verse 19, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, y'all say shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear, y'all say fear, fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed them unto him his hand. Showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again. Remember, y'all, in the hermeneutics class, when God says something multiple times, what's he trying to do? He's trying to convey a message, because sometimes we didn't get it the first time. Or sometimes we're just so upset that he has to say it again to get through to us. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father have sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Stretch forth your hands this way, ask God for a special touch and a special anointing. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well and on the throne, God. We know, God, that we're doing nothing without you, God. We have to have you every step of the way. Ask you right now to touch us, to anoint us, to help us know that you are here, and you are here in a real way, and you're waiting for us to reach out, because you're reaching down already. And, Lord, I thank you for what you're about to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church said, amen, amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. All right, now I want you to tell somebody, listen carefully, look at somebody and say, the past is behind us. Leave it there. The future is ahead of us. Reach forward. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Yes, glory. Okay. Let's get ready. How many here would come in here today without nobody? You ain't got to even raise your hand. But how many would come in here today and say, I came in limping? Don't raise your hands. I came in limping because I hurt from an injury. Maybe not a physical injury, but maybe an emotional injury, a spiritual injury. And it's really getting to you, and you limp all the time. Remember I told you, I don't trust a leader. I do not trust a leader that does not walk with a limp. Amen? Because they've never been through anything, and they really fall down in the middle of stuff, so you want somebody that limps. And I want children of God, when they're doing something for God, we need them that are limping, so that's okay. Limping's not bad. All right? So here we go. The power of our wounds. Now, I want you to think about this. I'm going to paint a little picture here. It was soon after the cross, and the crisis was still fresh in her mind. It's only been 3 days. 3 days All they can think about is what they saw. They saw Jesus, the one they thought that was going to save the world, the one they thought that was going to change the way things were going to take down the Romans and take down religion. And instead, it seemed like they took him down. Think about it. The terror was still real in their heads, and they played it over and over and over again. That all their hopes and all their dreams and all the things they were expecting was shattered. And there were so many questions left unanswered. They thought that it was going to be different. And when they thought that God was going to step in and save the day, the very worst thing you could think of happened. How many has ever had that happen to you? You have a problem in your marriage, a problem in your family, a problem on your job, a personal problem, and you're expecting God to step in and change things just like that, and sometimes He does. But many times, He quietly sits in the background and maneuvers things. So it not just benefits you right then, but it'll benefit you for eternity. And so we see with a close-up view, we see with a microscope, God sees with a telescope. All right, God sees it in a whole different way. So here they are, and they're in this crisis. Now they're behind locked doors. Think about this. There's physical locked doors, yes. But I meet people all the time that are spiritually, mentally, emotionally hiding behind locked doors. They won't let people in. They won't, anything, nothing's going to come out. They're hiding behind those doors because it's there where they feel safe. And they don't realize that behind those locked doors, they're closing off their dreams and their hopes. And they're closing off their help. So now, the motivating factor was fear. Now, of course, this fear here is phobia. And phobia is way beyond just regular fear. Fear is, I'm not going to step out on the street because I see a car coming. And I got fear I'll get run over. So I'm going to wait till the car comes by. Or maybe the house caught on fire. And I'm sitting there watching my house burn down. And now I've got a fear of house fires. But fear is one thing. But once fear grips you, I mean grips you, it can become a phobia. And a phobia is an unrealistic approach to the problem. You ever seen somebody that couldn't get close to a snake? Any kind of snake, a plastic snake? My mama said she was only scared of a few kinds of snakes, long ones, short ones, live ones, and dead ones. The worst beating I ever had was when I threw a plastic snake on my mama. That's the only time I've seen her grab that snake, because he took it and she beat the fire out of me with that snake. Phobias. Many people in here today, you've got phobias about something, and it's holding you back. It's keeping you behind locked doors. It's an unrealistic fear because you've been bit one time too many. You've been slapped one time too many. You've been hurt one time too many. And so you shut the door, you lock it, and say, nobody is going to ever hurt me again. So there's the phobia. But fear is actually a reaction to what? What is fear a reaction to? Fear is a reaction to, number one, let's look at the disciples. Number one, confusion. They misunderstood Jesus' words. Jesus was trying to tell them, I'm going to die. They're going to take me. They're going to beat me. And the Son of Man will rise on the third day. They didn't understand. They were too busy fussing in the upper room while He was washing their feet, while He was doing communion. They were arguing about who was the greatest. They were confused because they didn't understand the words of Jesus. And some of us, we really don't understand what God's telling us in our problems. We really don't understand what God is trying to do with us. We don't understand this. We get confused in His words, and then our faith begins to dwindle. Because once confusion comes in, then there's depression. That depression comes from unmet expectations. They were expecting Jesus to rise up and take care of business, and instead, He was beat to a pulp and hung on a cross till every drop of blood came out of his body. Wow. Some of y'all in here right now, you had an idea how God was going to step in and save the day. You figured God was going to work this way or that way. You even had I got a feeling in my bones. Here's how God's going to do it. And he does it. And so you get behind those locked doors and you find yourself depressed and can't figure out, why am I feeling this and why am I this way? So first, there's confusion. They didn't understand his word. Secondly, there was depression, unmet expectations. Jesus didn't do it the way they were expecting. And then there was desperation. They needed answers, but they were afraid to ask anybody because the one that they considered the answer man was dead. Wow. The one they thought was going to take care of business, the one they thought that was going to heal them, is dead. So they're desperate, hid behind those locked doors. I pray if you come here today and you please, you ain't got to raise your hand, but I'm telling you, if you're got yourself hid behind locked doors because of that confusion, because you were depressed, because you were desperate, and you're afraid to even step out of that door because you're afraid you're going to get hit again, I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ does have the answer. But you got to trust him to give it on his time, in his way, and let him figure it out the way he's going to do it versus the way you do it. You see, in order for faith to be effective, it's got to be active. They move from faith attacking the situation to the situation attacking their faith. I see it all the time. People that once stood strong for God and once had their act together, things happen again and again and again, and they began to let it dwindle. And instead of them stepping up and handling business, the businesses handled them. And you only realize that Jesus, if we'll listen, if we'll stop, if we'll unlock the door, he's got a very powerful lesson that he wants to teach us. So let's just go a little bit further. He wants you to know that your wounds are very powerful. We've all got them. Whether we admit it or not, we all got them. Whether we like it or not, we all got them. Whether we think that we're doing a good job or not and can't figure out why it's happening the way it's happening, we all got wounds. We can let our wounds consume us and be helped to no one. You've seen people like that. Every time they come up to you, they pull the Band-Aid back and show you. Let me show you what happened to me. Let me show you what happened to me. And then before you try to tell them something, they go, no, 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 no. And they slap the Band-Aid back down, and they get behind that locked door. Or you can overcome. And through the power of God, you can help so, so many people. There's two types of pains, one that hurts you and the one that changes you. I'd much rather have the one that changes you. Here's pain and acrostic. First, P, pain is powerful. A, we all experience it. I, it makes us help us identify with others. And N, it's never wasted by God. God wants to use your pain to help somebody else that's going through something similar. They won't listen to anybody else, but because you've been through that pain, they'll listen to you. Not only is it powerful, it propels our message. Verse 19, when he stepped in, they were afraid, and he shows him his hands and he shows him his side. Wow. You see, your message does something and nothing else will. When you've got that pain, is your message. First, it's got power. What kind of power does your pain possess? I've heard people say, there's a purpose behind your pain. And I sure wish I knew what it was because I'm tired of hurting. I wish I knew what it was because I can't even function. You see, it moved beyond barriers. The doors were locked. The plan was let nobody in. But they were unable to stop this. It's amazing how you can come up to somebody who's going through something, the doors are locked, and when they see that you've gone through that similar pain, they start opening up those doors and they let you come in and talk to them. It's a very, very powerful thing. So your pain moves through barriers, moves beyond barriers that other people will not allow anybody else in, but because you've been through it, now listen. And it's moved beyond confusion because he stood right in the midst. He didn't get to the side. He didn't peep in the door. Jesus came and he stood right in the midst. That word midst or stand actually means to establish a covenant. He stood right in the middle of what they were going through and brought a clear message. Some of y'all today need to let Jesus just step in, because he'll step in the midst and he'll bring you a clear message and he'll do something for you that you have not been able to do for years. He can change you. You just got to trust him. He knows what you're going through. Also, move beyond fear. He said, peace. Peace. Usually when somebody's hurting, the one thing they don't have is peace. When I'm counseling, the number one thing people do not have is peace. They can't sleep. They can't eat. They can't think. Because peace has gone so far away. These guys, they were scared to death. They thought they were going to be next ones put up on the cross. And so they needed calming. And that word peace literally means to bind together that which has been broken. It means to set a break. It means to repair. It's a medical term. Luke was good at medical terms. Set a break. Positive impact. Your wounds can do more than you ever imagined if you would just let God take it, let God get out. That's what Jesus did. So here's Jesus. His wounds also had the potential to bless others. He communicated to them. Somewhere behind locked doors, very few people can communicate to them. You can try to talk to them. You can beat on that door. I don't mean a literal door, but they're closed out. And you can try to talk to them and try to talk to them. They're not listening. They don't want to hear a thing you got to say. Another book of the Bible they know is the Yebuts. God can help you, yeah, but you can make it through this, yeah, but or you don't understand how bad I feel. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and loved not their lives unto the death. And then illuminate. Those scars, those wounds left scars. I heard a country song a little while back said, chicks dig scars. They dig scars as long as they in the right place. But you can't see the scars we got. Your wife leaves you. Your husband leaves you. Your children go crazy. You get fired for no reason. You go to church and expect to find compassion, and instead you get beat up and you got these wounds. And Jesus walked in the midst and showed him the scars and said, hey, I overcame this. You can too. You just got to trust me. When they saw, they were glad. They finally caught it. Some of us in here right now, you just need to catch it. Catch it! It's here! Catch it! God is alive. God is well. God can handle any kind of problem you got. You got to trust him to take care of business. John compared what was going down to childbirth. I don't know if anybody's ever been in the room when a woman was giving birth, but I promise you, once you go into a room and watch childbirth, you'll never be the same. And you wonder, how in the world they survived this. And so like a woman in childbirth, she's going to travail. That word travail is talking about a process. Remember Beverly, after DC was born, she said, there will never be another child. Do you understand me? Right there on the table, she said, there ain't going to be another one. You better enjoy this one. There ain't going to be another one. And a few months later, she said, ready for another one? You see, because that joy, weeping endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So now, I'm getting close to the end. Blessing. He spoke, they saw, they heard, they were glad. At your point of pain, think about this. At your point of pain, the healing begins. I remember when I was at EMT and I was in the hospital and I was going through my clinicals and two kids came in, two, and they had broke both their bones. And big old Dr. Miller, y'all remember Dr. Miller? Great old big man. Dr. Miller said, come on over here, David. And I come on over there and he said, of course they did things different back then. They were screaming and I said, give him something for pain. He says, I'm getting ready to. I never saw a needle. I never saw a pill. He reached down. He grabbed that arm and he put his fingers over like this. And he went, pop! The first time I had to go to the bathroom and change my pants. Pop! And they quit crying immediately. Second child come up, same scenario, but this time I was ready. That great little big man grabbed that little bitty arm. That little girl screaming, and he said, hold on, baby, I got you. And I thought to myself, yes, what I thought last time. And he went, pop! You see, it's at that point of pain that God begins healing you. You got to trust him. Yes, you got pain, but there's also healing. And you got to understand, with every pain, it always comes with a possibility. God's going to do something special with you. It shows the power of God also to turn on every situation. Let me get my Bible. Jesus said unto them, again, peace be unto you. As my Father have sent me, even so I send you. And when they had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute. They were not baptized with the Spirit until days later. So what was going on? What was God doing? First, he said, peace again. That was a confirmation. You got to understand, it hurts. But even after you've been hurt, you know what God's going to do? He's going to start healing you, and he's going to tell you the same thing he told them. Even though you hurt, I need you to go out and show others what you've seen, what you've witnessed, the power that you have been exposed to. So then, here it goes. He breathed on them. He said, receive you the Holy Ghost. Back in the day, in old legalistic days, There were some people that would say, well, that means that Thomas, because he weren't there, he missed the Holy Ghost. No, he did not. This is not Pentecost Sunday. So, what is it? Why did he breathe on them? Number one, he was pointing to Pentecost, that there's a day coming. But he breathed on them, number one, to give them assurance. And to give them a taste of what's coming. Some of y'all are in here right now. You may be locked behind that door, but you're starting to open that door because you're beginning to feel a taste of what is coming. It's a taste! Oh, there's a lot more. There's a whole lot more. But you're beginning to open the door. You're beginning to let him in. And you're beginning to feel it. Not realizing that this is only the tip of the iceberg of what he's going to do. He was giving them a taste of what was coming. And he breathed on them to calm them down because they were all shook up. They couldn't handle the situation. He's saying, you can handle this. I got you. You see, God is raising up a generation able to likewise breed a fresh anointing on this world. You know, I was sitting there, we were singing Rise Again, and we haven't sang it in so long. It's been a long, long, long time. But even though it's been years since we sang Rise Again, and I used to sing it all the time in the group I was in, that same feeling that I got when I learned it, when it first came out, that's how old it is. That song is probably 40 years old. And when that song came out 40 years ago, and we were playing it and singing it, the same feeling that I had back then as we were playing it today, I had that same feeling all over again. That same victorious, powerful feeling. You see, today you got a taste of what's coming. And it's powerful. Now, getting ready to close. DC, you can come on up here and get ready to play something. All the walls we build, all the doors that we lock, can't lock out the pain. You can't. You cannot lock it out. All you do is you sit there and hurt, and you lock out the solution, but you're not locking out the pain. How many times have you still hurt but locked out the solution? Thank God we can't keep Jesus out. Amen. His scars cover yours. His scars. Number one about his scars is a confirmation. Yes, the cross was real, but so is the resurrection. You've been hurt, and it's real. No matter what people might try to belittle it, you've been hurt, it's real. But because you're here today, you're proof that God can resurrect you in your worst pain. So it's confirmation. All this confirmation is comfort. Because we know in our pain, we're not alone. He sympathized. He came down from heaven. He empathized. He carried the cross. And he gave the greatest hope. He arose. Love that song, I'll rise again. There ain't no power on earth can keep me down. Whoa! If he can defeat the grave, he can help you defeat the closed doors in your life. He can help you defeat the grave markers in your life. Your life's not over. God's got you. You just got to believe it. Everybody please stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. But nobody looking around. There may be somebody in here that at this very moment you're locked behind some closed doors. Some of you are even hiding behind gravestones. And my challenge to you today is open it up. Open up that door. Move beyond those gravestones. God's got you. Yes, the cross is real, but so is resurrection. Yes, your pain is real, but so is healing. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you've been living behind closed doors, I'm not going to call you out up here to embarrass you. You stay right at your seat. But if you're here today and you've been living behind closed doors in areas of your life, or you've been hiding behind gravestones while nobody's looking around, everybody's head's bowed, would you put that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I have been behind so many locked doors. I've been hiding behind gravestones, and I need God to give me that hope. Today's your day. Maybe you're here today and you're just tired. You're tired. You fought the battle and you thought the battle was won. You had to fight again and again and again. And you're thinking, is there ever going to be a time when the comfort is there and the comfort is here? If you need God today because you're just tired, and you're needing God to refresh you, to breathe on you, to breathe afresh on you. With nobody looking around, would you put that hand up? I just need God to breathe on me today. Let's pray right now. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you that we are not alone. We thank you that you are able to breathe on us and refresh us and to breathe on our situation. We thank you, God, that we don't have to live behind a gravestone. Thank you, God. You, God, show us the cross was real. The resurrection was real. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We rededicate our lives to you today as you breathe freshness on us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. God is so, so, so real. I thank him every day. It's getting better and better and better. Okay.
My best friend Jack. I've been seeing Dr.
Okay. Bless his heart. His name is what now?
Junie.
Father, y'all everybody put your hands this way. They've got a friend that's in desperate need with his health. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch Junie. Lord, bless him. Lord, touch his wife. Bless her. I ask you, God, right now, Lord, to step in and do what you do best, and that's bring hope, to breathe new life, to bring comfort. I thank you, God, for the peace that you're giving Junie. and his family right now in the name of Jesus. Touch those doctors at Duke. Give them the know-how and the knowledge to do what's got to be done in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. You're more than powerful, God. You are powerful. Touch right now. Raise him up with your resurrection power. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Amen, bro. You the man, bro. I love you, bro. You are the man. God. All right. We'll come up. Go ahead. Okay. Okay. Well, guess what? You're in the right place. In the right place. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your ability to do what we cannot do, your ability to transform us, Lord, to step beyond what the doctors may think is impossible. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch this family in a very powerful way. Touch my sister. Let her know, God, that you got this. And Father, something special this day has already happened. It's going to keep happening. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. God is good. All the time. All right. Y'all looking good. Look around and tell somebody looking good. Even if you got to close one eye, tell them they're looking good. All right. Don't forget Tuesday nights. We're actually doing hermeneutics class, which is the science of biblical interpretation. We're in week number 7 of a 13-week course. Those that complete this will actually get a real certificate to put up on your wall that you took a hermeneutics class, and it's going to be awesome, but God's got you, all right? So today, go out with your family, have a good time. God's got this. Don't worry about the Easter Bunny. He got raised last night with that hairspray. God is good. So we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after we say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brandon to dismiss us in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And